right, you're listening to EAA Radio. This is the Traffic Jam. Joining us in the studio tonight is AOPA Tom Haynes and Dave Hirschman. Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Rick.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
How's the show going for you so far?
Well, it's been super busy. Our tent at AOPA has been packed all the time. Everybody's coming by to see our Super Cub sweepstakes airplane and learn about some of the stuff we've been working on. So it's been really good, very vibrant this year.
Excellent. Yeah, it's been a really good crowd. And we were talking beforehand, like, a lot of people associate AOPA with government advocacy, which you guys are really strong into, and the magazine, which is one of the finest aviation publications out there.
But you guys are, at least that's what I keep telling people.
Yes. But you guys are a lot more than that. So you have a lot of programs. There's some new education things. There's the new AOPA fly-ins.
Right.
A whole lot. Let's talk a little bit about, well, first of all, the AOPA fly-ins. A lot of people, you know, it's Friday night. We're getting towards the end. People are talking about going home from Oshkosh. And when you get home from Oshkosh, there's this whole, like, aviation withdrawal that happens after you get home from this event. And you guys got a bunch of events coming up that is a great cure for the Oshkosh withdrawal.
Right. We'll give you about 6 weeks off. And then middle of September, fire back up again. Come down to Santa Fe on September 15th and 16th, where we're having one of our regional fly-ins. And it'll be the second one of the year. We had one in Missoula a few weeks ago. And then later, like 2 weeks later, we'll be in Carbondale, Illinois, on the first weekend in October. And then the last weekend in October will be in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Sounds good. And Dave, you and I have a little bit of a history in Carbondale. We went the Eclipse over the Eclipse cover shot was shot just outside of the airspace in Carbondale.
That's right. It was really in the airspace just west of Carbondale, and we circled and circled and watched the sky go from bright to dark to bright again, and it was a day I will never forget.
It was certainly one of the most memorable photo shoots I've ever done, and when we sat down and briefed the picture, there were so many variables that I'm kind of surprised that we pulled it off, but it was the end result was fairly spectacular.
Right, and that magazine cover, just the photography that Chris Rose did on the cover of that magazine, won an industry publications award just recently, and it's up for a few more, so you may be hearing some more about it.
Right, and we made a big blow up of the cover and put it in our boardroom at AOPA too. Our board members saw it, and then like, we got to display this somewhere.
Oh, that's very cool.
So it was, you know, talk about a moment in time, the way a photograph can capture a moment in time. That's a moment in time that, you know, we'll never see again until at least 2024, I think, is the next eclipse over the United States, anyhow.
Well, I think Dave and I were the only two people in totality that didn't see it at all, because I was watching Dave, and Dave was watching out for everybody else. And
I just remember that sucking sound of those two Eclipse engines just right outside the open door of, it's actually Tom Haynes' Bonanza that it was shot from, and that was something else. You did a great job of flying the subject plane, and Chris Rose blasting you with those
the bright strobe lights.
That strobe was lights every few seconds. That couldn't have made it any easier.
No, that was, he would go like 3, 2, 1, and I'd try to time blinking with that, and I'd be like, the strobe would flash, and I'd be out of, you know, like, be out of position, slide back in, flash, you know, and so that was quite an adventure.
How long did it last, the totality? Were you, like, did you feel like you were really in darkness?
Not that long. It was, what, maybe 6 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it was a short time, and I just remember, I remember that 10 minutes before, you know, we're joined up and we're circling, and it's 10 minutes before it's the total eclipse is supposed to be there. And I'm looking outside thinking, it is bright sunshine out here. Is it really, you know, we're doing about one turn every 3 minutes. And I was thinking, is it really going to be dark in three more turns? And it sure was.
Yeah, it was very cool. And you've been doing some other cool flying lately, flying the Howard DGA. And I just heard you ferried an RV-12. Most of the way across the country. And
that's right. Tom bought an RV-12, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful airplane, an SLSA version. Tom's daughter is going to learn to fly in it, and we had originally planned that Tom's daughter Jenna and I were going to fly it back from Phoenix together, and she could get a jump start on her training by getting 15 hours of dual on the toward her sport pilot license on the way. But it was 115 degrees in Phoenix, and we knew it was going to be high density altitudes and a hot, bumpy flight. So we spared Jenna on that one, but she's flying it now, and I think it's just a wonderful airplane, wonderful tool for the flight training job.
Yeah, she had her first flight lesson this week, as a matter of fact, since I've been gone, and she texted me and then called me all excited about that. So
that's very cool. That's got to be exciting for you to have your kids getting into aviation now and watching her go through that process.
Yeah, I mean, she's talked about it for a long time, so it's nice to see her actually moving forward on it and having that opportunity. So we'll see where it goes from here. She's busy with grad school and got a lot going on in her life, but so I hope she's able to stick it out.
That's awesome. Well, that's one of the things besides the magazine that AOPA has been instrumental in, is to get more people into aviation and inspire pilot training. And you've got a new program, a high school curriculum program. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's really part of our You Can Fly initiative, which is four programs designed to kind of, wherever you are in your aviation life, to help you with it. There's the high school curriculum, which was for grades 9 through 12, which we'll talk about a little more detail in a second. And then we've got a flying club initiative for, or flight training initiative, I guess, would come next for those who are in flight training to help improve the flight training experience. We're working with flight schools and with chief flight instructors and that sort of thing to help them understand customer service and how to be better teachers, if you will. And then we've got the Flying Club Initiative, which is helping grow the Flying Club network. We have created 88 flying clubs in the last 3 years or so, about 650 flying clubs in our network. And wow. We have dedicated staff who will help you start a flying club and walk you through all the processes necessary with the FAA and with the IRS and other entities to sort of make that possible. And then we've got our Rusty Pilot program. So if you've kind of drifted away from aviation and haven't been current in a while, we've got courses, basically your ground school for your flight review to get you back into aviation, free to AOPA members and $69 for everybody else. And we've got those going on all over the country all the time. And you go through that. They're usually held in conjunction with a flight school, and you just walk next door and schedule your lessons. So, but I thought that the high school curriculum might be particularly interesting with Kelly, who's a math teacher, and it's all focused on STEM, aviation STEM program, grades 9 through 12, free to any school that wants it. The ninth grade curriculum is out there and ready to go for this fall, and we have about 80 schools signed up to use it this fall. And then meanwhile, we're working or beta testing with a group of 10th grade students around the country in about 30 schools or so, then, and that'll get perfected then to roll out in the following year. For this year's ninth graders, we'll have it when they're 10th graders, and we'll do 11th and 12th grade. So it's our effort to kind of get kids educated about aviation, let them know what the opportunities are. You walk out of there with either your ground school done as a private pilot. There's a drone pathway also, and so you get your Part 103 by the time you're done. And there's also an aerospace engineering, in which case you'll get certification, one of the CAD programs, I guess it is, by the time you graduate from that program. So those are all tools and skills that will be valuable to you, whether you go into a technical career afterwards or if you're going to college. So it's a really great program, all funded by donors, so the AOPA Foundation, and it's a really important program for us.
Well, and you said the ninth grade curriculum is already out. As a teacher, any teachers that are listening, how would they contact or who would they contact to get a hold of that curriculum? Or do you have a website specifically for it that they can check for?
Right. If you go to AOPA.org, okay. One of the choices at the top of the page is You Can Fly, and you go there, and there's all kinds of information about all the initiatives, including the high school curriculum. And you can actually sign up for the curriculum on the website, or you can call us at AOPA and we'll hook you up with the right people in the program if you want to talk through it a little bit. We provide teacher training and everything that you need to teach the courses, including the tests and all of the hands-on exercises and stuff for kids, and it's all there. We had teacher training for the ninth grade program just a few weeks ago, and the teachers were super excited. I ran into a couple of them here at the show, and they came up to me and said that one woman had been a teacher for 15 years. She said, and teaching STEM curriculum the whole time. She's been through all sorts of teacher training. And she said the training we offered her a couple of weeks ago was the best STEM training she's ever had.
Excellent.
So that was really rewarding.
Now, you guys have a whole bunch of publications. I think I've subscribed to about, I don't know, it seems like a dozen different ones, but there's a new one you just came out with. And we talked about it with a guest earlier in the week about when you get your pilot's license or you build an airplane, you give everybody you know a ride. And then you fly out for the $100 hamburger, and then it's like kind of this, like, well, now what phase that you go into, and everybody, you fly to Oshkosh or you fly to an AOPA flying or you do this, but there's kind of that, well, now what thing, and you guys have a new program that you're putting together for destinations and travel, and I just started subscribing to it. It's pretty cool. It's how does somebody get involved? Tell us about the destinations
right
program.
Yeah, well, it's the new publication is called Travel Pilot. It's an email newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks, and it features 3, 4, or 5 different destinations around the country, and it's really meant to just basically drive you to the destinations part of our website, where we've got a whole lot more articles out there and a lot of other resources, including some travel discounts for hotels, rental cars, that sort of thing. And it's all meant to inspire pilots and get them to go out and fly more, let them know of the really cool places that you can go and use an airplane. And it's really meant to sort of pick up, because you're right, when you finish your flight training, so now you have that private pilot check ride, and then what do you do the next day? You know, there's like this, your connection to the airport is suddenly severed, basically. And so it's like, you know, we want to hook you up with a flying club, but then what do you do with the airplane? And it's like, this is all meant to just give you ideas and inspire you to go places. So the newsletter, like I said, comes out every 2 weeks. You go to aopa.org/destinations. Great content out there, and the ability to sign up for the email newsletter. And it's tied into our new airport directory, which has all been revamped. It's got all kinds of information about airports, and also the ability there to search for destinations based on activities. So if you like to golf, you can find, just check a box, and it'll give you a bunch of golf courses within a short distance of a general aviation airport, skiing, camping, all those kind of activities. So whatever you'd like to do, you can find airports near those locations.
So is your database sort of crowdsourced that we get from suggestions from AOPA members for, oh, you should go check this out and that kind of thing? Or is it sort of your personal travel destinations that you've visited most of these places?
Well, a lot of the travel content is based on professional travel writers that we've been using who are pilots. And then Dave and I and a lot of others on the staff are writing content about places that we've been. And then as far as the activities goes, that's hooked into Google. So when you check that box, basically you're presented with a Google map that shows where the airport is, and then it shows show the golf courses, for example, within a radius of that airport. So it uses a whole bunch of different tools and blends them together and makes it really useful to the pilot, we think.